But I've never been in a church when somebody services. In fact, I've been in a lot of dead churches. But I've never been in a church when somebody died. And I've been in a church where I thought some people were dead while I was preaching. But I've never been in a church service where somebody just died right in the middle of the service. Now, I love these interesting stories in the Bible like this one. And I love to preach from them because I like making the Bible come alive. Amen. Can you imagine being at church when this happened? All right. The man promised money to the building fund. And he got more for his house than what he thought he was going to get. And then he kept it. Now, I got news for you. In this passage right here, God doesn't have to have your money. He can do without it. He wants your obedience and your love. But here, this man had promised it, so the Holy Spirit had spoke to his heart. That ever happened to you? Missionary comes and missionary presents, and God says, hey, give him $100. Give him $20. Give him $5. And you already had your check wrote out for your tithes, amen, 10%. And he says, give them $5. So you get out another $5 or you write another check because the Holy Spirit spoke to you and told you to do it. So the Holy Spirit has spoke to Peter and told him to sell his property and to give the money to the church. And he said he would do it. He agreed. He made covenant that he would. And then he kept back part of it. That's why Peter said in verse 3, why has Satan filled that heart to lie, not to the church, not to your building fund promise card, not to the preacher, but to the Holy Ghost. And then he tells him in verse 4, while it remained, when you owned it, didn't it belong to you? That was your property. You're the one said you was going to sell it. You're the one said you was going to give to the church. We didn't make you do this. Nobody made you say you was going to do it. Nobody made you say you was going to give. You said it. And now you're not keeping up your part of the bargain. And the Bible says in verse number 5, after he had lied, verse number 5, it says he heard these words, he fell down, he gave up the ghost. I want you to notice verse number 6. That's where the sermon will come from. The Bible says, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out. And buried him. I want to preach tonight on this subject, 5 whys to stay alive and to thrive. 5 whys to stay alive and to thrive. I think sometimes we come to the same church every week, and familiarity breeds ingratitude. And we don't know what we've got. But I want to let you know what makes this church alive and thriving. And I think it's 5 whys. 5 words that start with why. It just rhymes like the cow sermon, and I thought it'd go over better. All right. 5 whys to help you stay alive and thrive as a church. Let's pray, and then I'll get into it. All right. And I know how to be the favorite guest speaker. Finish early. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for our preacher. God, I do pray you'd touch his body. I pray you'd heal him and, Lord, strengthen him. Lord, I pray that you would give him power, Lord, in his body. Just help him, Lord, take away that sickness. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the service tonight. I want to be a blessing to our church. I sure do love them. Lord, so many of them involved in this week. So many of them volunteering and helping and doing and cleaning and making this and making that. And how can I help? And I want to do this. Lord, what a great church we have. God, I pray it could be a blessing and an encouragement to help them to know why our church stays alive and thrives. Lord, I pray that the message would be a help, an encouragement, a challenge. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, let me say this. The first thing, the first why that'll help a church stay alive and thrive is this: young people. Young people. Look at verse number 6. Here's what it says. It says, and the young men arose. There was young people there. Y'all see that right there? They was young people in the church at Acts. Thank God. Look around. Thank God there's young people here. Now, I'm not just saying that as the youth pastor, but by the way, I'm thankful I get to work with your young people. I love our teenagers. I don't just love the fact that I get to be silly with them and play games with them and enjoy, but I get to see them grow and I get to see them make decisions and I get to see them from one week to another. I get to see them make decisions and grow, become better young men and better young ladies. And let me just tell you, I love working with young people, but I'm not just talking about the teenagers. I'm talking about the little ones. I'm talking about the college age, and not just Bible college, but I'm talking about our other college students, our young adults. Talking about our young couples. There's young people here. Praise God for that. You like me, you've been in some churches before, and no offense to all of our senior saints, but we've been in churches before that ain't got no young people. You ever been there? One of the pulse-pounding signs of a dead church is there ain't no young people. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 promises the perpetuity of the church. It says that hell cannot prevail against the church, but one obvious oversight of many overseers is the need to invest in the next generation. Thank God we have a preacher that's willing to put on a youth conference, willing to decorate the auditorium, willing to let us invade the auditorium, willing to let us do what we get to do, and I'm so thankful for our, not just our preacher, but our church. Thank you for investing in our Bible college and our camp and all that. You know who that's for? Young people. Fulfilling Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell the next generation. Psalm 71:18. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, not yet, but when I am, amen. Oh God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. I want to tell them. I want them to know. Psalm 102, verse 18. This shall be written for the generation to come. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Hey, listen, senior saint, I ain't leaving you out. Your job is to praise God and to tell the next generation about God's work in your life. All through the Bible, the aged men taught the younger men. The aged ladies taught the younger ladies. If you look at a church and a church doesn't have any young people, it's because the aged men and the aged ladies aren't reaching any young people. Because it takes work. We're called to reach the next generation. The life of the church is the investment that church has in the next generation. These young people, they came to church. They were in their place. We need young people. A why for the church to stay alive and to thrive is young people. And you know what? To my teenagers, I like how when this happened, Peter didn't have to say, hey, somebody help me with this dead body. The Bible said they just arose. They just knew, hey, preacher about to ask us to help with that dead body. Just like he has us carry them chairs, amen? Can I get a witness? He's about to ask us to move his dead body. Somebody, here, I'll help. I'll do it. I'll go ahead and do it. I already know. They need us to move his dead body. And they jumped up. They were willing. Young people that were willing. We need young people. Why to stay alive as young people? Number two, verse number six, back to verse number six. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out. Not only a second why to stay alive and to thrive is yoked people. Yoked people. When I say yoked, what I mean is they used to have donkeys, which, by the way, I've had the worst time in the world trying to find a donkey. All right, we're going to have to kiss a pig again because donkeys are hard to find, apparently, unless you go to Washington. But they would take them donkeys and they would put them both in a yoke to do a work. A yoke, they went over their heads and it tied them together and it kept them focused and it kept them together to work. And that yoke represented work. And Jesus, when he talked about the yoke, it represented work. And yoked people are people that are okay to serve, that are okay to work. Notice in verse 6, the progression. The Bible says they arose. They got up out of their seat. They wound, that means they rolled him up, they did a little work. Then they carried, they did a little heavier work. They weren't afraid of hard work. Church, let me tell you something. A church that's alive and that's thriving ain't afraid of a little hard work. A lot of social clubs up and down this road and up and down roads all over Lexington, hey, that are afraid of a little bit of hard work. How can you tell, Brother Davis? Well, first of all, because there ain't no young people. And second of all, because there ain't a lot of yoked people there. Listen, I'm talking about these people were serving. They were taking out trash. They were carrying tables. They were setting up chairs. They were washing buses. They were cleaning the church. They were cleaning Sunday school rooms. They were giving in the offering, taking up the offering, sweeping, mopping, greeting, ushering, singing in the choir, helping in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, helping with security, driving the buses, doing the TV, the live stream, working security in the back, working security in the front, driving buses, fixing bathrooms, mowing grass, visiting bus routes, bringing cookies, making mac and cheese, volunteering to referee, running vans, going soul winning. Hey, all of it. If I didn't name your ministry, then I'm sorry. That's all I could think of. This is a big team effort of a bunch of people who's just in the yoke. Think about when you're in the yoke, you got your head down and you're just plowing. And as preacher used to say, or says, and I can't remember the fella's name who gave him the quote, but listen, when the mule's pulling, it ain't kicking. And when the mule's kicking, it ain't pulling. We just get in the yoke and get to serving. And when the preacher needs help, they just naturally jump up. Hey, listen, when you're carrying trash and you're saying yes to changing dirty diapers and you're saying yes to cleaning up messes, hey, you ain't going to have a problem carrying dead bodies, I guess. I'm just preaching the Bible, all right? I'm talking about hard jobs, difficult tasks. They were servants. Let me ask you something. Are you putting in? I tell the young people when we get ready for the youth conference, I say, if you'll put in, you'll get more out. Same's true in church. When you invite a bunch of people to church and then you come to church, it feels better. You get more out. When you serve, when you do something, and you walk in and you say, hey, I hung that flag right there. So unless it falls, then it was somebody else. You put in, you get more out. The same is true in church. The church that thrives and that's alive, it has yoked people. People that are just in the yoke, they're just willing to work. They see the need, they be the need. When they stood, nobody had to, Peter didn't have to say, hey, listen now, would you please help me with this dead body. Somebody please, hey, we can't have his dead body here at the church now. No, he didn't have to say that. They just jumped up and did it. Wherever needed. They saw the need, they became the need. They arose, they wound, they carried, and they finished the task. They took it out and buried it. Listen, if you're yoked in, don't quit. Sometimes when you're yoked in, that yoke gets heavy. Hey, maybe it was hot on the bus today. It was hot today. Maybe it was hard on the bus today. I got a little upset this morning preaching and having a little bit of a rough time. And listen, sometimes that yoke gets tough. Hey, listen, don't quit. Stay yoked in. Don't quit. They didn't quit. They was carrying that dead body. They carried it out and they buried it. It wasn't even their relative probably. They was the pallbearers, the funeral director, and everything. You know why they didn't mind? Because they was yoked in. They was yoked people. If we're going to be a church that thrives and that's alive, we got to be yoked. Number three, a third why that'll help the church stay alive and thrive is yielded people. Back to verse 6. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. They buried him. See, these people were yielded. They rid themselves of that dead body. In Numbers 19:11, that dead body had been proclaimed unclean. So they took that dead body out and buried it. They weren't about to leave it in the church. It was against the word of God. And he said, but wait a minute, that was Brother Ananias. I mean, he gave. It didn't matter. You know why? Because it was against the word of God. and they were yielded people. But brother, Ananias, do you not know who he is? Or you're going to offend his family. You're going to make them mad. Hey, listen, maybe we should just prop that deadbeat, dishonest person up and just give him a position somewhere. No. That ain't what Peter said, and that ain't what those people said. He said, roll him up, carry him out, and bury him. Get that dead body out of the church. And that's what the young men did. They were yielded to God. It didn't matter who they had seen come and go that were now doing wrong. Listen to me, church. I've been here 16 years. I've seen people sit here, stand up here, that aren't here anymore, that aren't living right. That don't give me a license to sin. College students, same thing. You got friends. Teenagers, same thing. Got friends. Family. That doesn't give me a license to sin. I'm not yielded to them. I'm yielded to God. And a church that's alive and thriving has people that are yielded. They are given. They are surrendered to God. They're going to do right regardless. They didn't care whether the bigwigs were doing it or not. They're yielded. They didn't care whether they got noticed or not. They're yielded. They didn't care whether it was politically correct with the bureau, the brethren. They only cared about the book. And thank God that Peter, the preacher, didn't pussyfoot. He didn't baby or burp brother Ananias. He buried him. Amen. That's good right there. He roared back and he told him straight, roared, if you need to know how to spell it, it's R-A-W-R-E-D, roared, like a dinosaur. Thank God for preachers that still preach. Hey, we got one. I'm talking about that still preach. Hey, straightforward preaching leads to straightforward living. Bible preaching leads to Bible living. I'm talking about preachers that still tell you salvation's by grace through faith. That's the only way you can get saved. Can't get saved through any other way, through good works, just like was preached this morning. Can't get saved through good works. Can't get saved through the law or through education or through baptism. You can't get saved that way. You get saved through grace, through trusting Jesus. It's the only way. Preacher that still stands on the scriptures, the King James Bible, and standards of morality and modesty and music and ministry. Separation from the world. Think about this. You know, we're commanded in 2 Corinthians 6, touch not the unclean thing. They got rid of that dead body. I remember as a teenager, I got rid of a lot of dead things. I got rid of some dead music. Got rid of some dead clothes. Because it represented a dead me. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Hey, but I was quickened, made alive when I trusted Christ. I was made a new creature, born again. Amen. If you're alive, what are you doing living amongst the dead? What you got all that dead stuff for? Get rid of that dead stuff. Too many churches, you know what they did? They just roll up that dead body and slap a little Jesus on it and say, well, that's Christian whatever. Notice verse 10. I like this about them. They stayed even when everybody else was against them. I'm talking about being yielded. I'm talking about being yielded to God. I'm talking about being yielded to the book. I'm talking about being yielded to the church. Notice this now, verse 10. This is after God kills Ananias' wife because she lies. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Now that's very caring. They didn't have to do that, by the way. The church loves people, even people that mess up. Hey, listen to me. Church loves people, even people that mess up. Do y'all read that in your Bible? They were dead. They were dead. They could have threw her anywhere. They put her by her husband. Church, let me tell you something. We're to love people even when they mess up. Even when they mess up. They didn't just throw her to the curb. They took her and put her by her husband. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. Notice verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Heard what things? Knock, knock, knock. We're out soul winning. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, I'm from the church down there where Peter's the preacher. Yeah, we'd like to invite you to church. Do what? Man, I heard two people died last Sunday. I ain't never coming to that church. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, I'm from the church down there where Peter's the preacher. I was wanting you to come to church. Man, I heard if you don't give to the building fund, the preacher kills you down there. It would blow your mind the things you hear people say about the church. So why do you stay for 16 years?
Well, probably because you get a paycheck.
No, I tell you why I stay, because I'm yielded. Yielded to the will of God, yielded to the word of God, yielded to the church. Hey, listen, you ain't going to find many places like this place anywhere near this place. The young men had watched and they had witnessed it all. They saw Ananias and they probably looked up to him. Just saying, I don't know him. But he was a church man. And he gave a little bit to the building fund. And then they see him lie and die. You've probably been hurt too from somebody's hypocrisy or lies or sin. But then they stayed. Y'all see that? They didn't run off. They stayed. Why? Because they were yielded. They were surrendered. God had brought them here. Hey, who brought you here? If God brought you here, be yielded. Be yielded. Be yielded. A why that will help you stay alive and thrive is to be yielded. Number four, a why that'll help you stay alive and thrive is yearning people. Look at verse 13. Verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 13, and the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both men and women. They said, man, when we got that dead body out of there, revival broke out. I mean, people started getting saved, the Bible says. Multitudes, both men and women. They were yearning. They had a desire to see people saved. Three reasons people come to church. First, to get saved. First, to get saved. Second, because they are saved. Third of all, because they want to get somebody saved. Three reasons come to church. To get saved, because you are saved, to get somebody saved. They didn't just come for fun or fellowship or food or friends or fame or fortune. They had a desire. They had kids that were lost and on their way to hell. They had parents that were lost and on their way to hell. They had friends that were lost and on their way to hell. They had coworkers that were lost and on their way to hell. They had brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and grannies that they needed to be saved. And they were either going to bring them and get them under the preaching of the Word of God, or they were going to pray for God to send somebody to tell them about Jesus. But one way or another, they were at that church because they had a yearning in their soul for people to get saved. Praying for anybody? Got a burden at all for anybody? You ever told anybody how to be saved? You ever took a gospel tract and told somebody how to be saved? You say, I know that we don't want people to go to hell. That's why we do this. Because there's a desire, there's a yearning. Decide to be a person that seeks souls. That why will help you stay alive and thrive as a church. A yearning. I'll close with this. Number one, the church needs young people. I'm so thankful for my young people, for your young people. You're not the church's future. You're the church right now. Preparing for the future. But you're the church right now. Number two, the church needs yoke people. Who show up and serve. We don't need prancing horses. We need working mules. Yoked people. And that's what we got. That's why this place is alive and thriving. Number three, the church needs yielded people. Who separate and stay. They get away from dead bodies. They get away from the world. And they stay close to God. They stay close to the spout where the glory comes out. The church needs yearning people who seek souls, pray for the backslidden, and go after the hurting. That's why we have buses. That's why we have Victory in Jesus. That's why we have ministries like that. Do you have a desire to see people saved? Oh, I forgot to give you number five, didn't I? Yeah, the fifth why that'll help you stay alive and thrive. We need you. You're here for a purpose. I don't think you're here by accident. I don't think anybody's here by accident. The fifth why to stay alive and thrive at this church is you. No one may be dropping dead in our services, but we need everybody. This church is like a body, 1 Corinthians 12. We got feet, we got hands, we got big toes, thumbs, fingers, arms, legs. We got it all, and we need it all. You're needed. We need you if we're going to stay alive and thrive. You said, well, if I don't come, if I don't show up, nobody will know. That's like cutting off a finger and saying, well, I'll just go without that for this week. Try it. See if it don't inconvenience you. We need you. Young, yoked, yielded, yearning, and you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, maybe you're here and somebody invited you because they had a yearning to see your salvation. And you say, Brother Davis, I don't know for sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure. But I know I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I know I don't want to go to hell. I know I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me.